Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome, 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 ladies and gents, to Smooth Drama, the talk show that puts its ass right on your face. That's right, the only show in the world that gives out complimentary faces. I'm Ms. 100%, and if you want me to put my ass on your face, the call-in number for that is 646-929-2037. Again, that call-in number is 646-929-2037. Or you can hit me up on Facebook. It's Ms. 100%. That's MS 100% spelled out. Twitter, that's at number 100%. Or email me at Ms. 100%, M-I-S-S 100% spelled out, at yahoo.com. And tonight I have a special treat for y'all. My co-host is the very sexy, the very intelligent football coach extraordinaire, Mr. Rod Berrius himself. And let me see if I can get Mr. Berrius here on the phone. Hopefully, he'll be able to answer.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Rod Berrius. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm great. I'm glad you could join us. I was expecting you to call in, but that's okay. We
okay.
Work with this, but the way we have it now is perfect. So, Mr. Berrius, can you, give the people just a little taste of who you are and where they can find you, where they can contact you and get all up close and personal with you if they choose to?
Oh, wow. Okay.
You don't have to speak into the mic. Speak directly.
Okay.
Yes, directly.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Is this any better?
It's perfect.
Okay. A M A P O R.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you do us a favor?
We make the phone thing. Yeah.
Call into the show. I'm going to answer. I'm not going to free call and block your call. I promise I won't be doing that. I won't do that. And while you're calling us, I'm going to get on with the show because I got some stuff to tell the people.
Excellent. Calling now.
All right. And so while we're waiting for Mr. Rod Berrius to call in, I wanted to tell y'all about the toe-sucking bandit. We have a toe-sucking bandit that on the loose here. He's been, he tricked a lady at a Walmart store into saying that he was a representative for the show America's Funniest Home Videos. To convince a woman, he said that the store in the show was going to pay for all of her groceries and only if she would allow him to kiss her big toe. Hello, Mr. Berrius, you're on.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'm telling the audience about the toe-sucking bandit, the guy who said he was from America's Funniest Home Videos.
Sure, I've been listening.
And okay, and well, reportedly, he bent down and to kiss her toe, and then he proceeded to suck on her big toe, and she screamed for him to stop, and he, you know, he said, oh, but it tasted so good, and just ran off and with the cops chasing behind him. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean, but the funny part, the funniest part about this is the fact that this guy is not just a foot fanatic or has a foot fetish. This guy is a serial toe sucker. He's been he's been at Walmart in Arkansas, South Carolina, Augusta.
There's a rat to me?
He's going around the country sucking toes. So
he's on a rampage.
Yes.
Well, does he have like a shoe shining stand or a red velvet pillow or a foot washing service? How does he work that?
Foot washing. He's just walking into Walmart and he's with America's Funniest Home Videos and he's going to play a prank on the store, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to pay for their groceries and that's how he gets close to the women's feet. And I don't know. Huh? What do you think? I mean, don't you think
I'd have to work in the foot washing skit. I don't know. I'd have to work in a foot washing skit. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just not that into toes. But, you know, there's different floats for different boats. But it's amazing people are that willing to disrobe in a Walmart for a good cause. So that's
right.
What's a little shocking.
Right. That's what I was saying. It's a little freaky to me. I mean, his fetish is understandable, but their thing is really not that explainable because it's like, I don't care if it's for a joke or what, you're not going to suck or kiss my toes in public. I'm not doing that. So you have to kind of think, like, you know, what are they really into? So,
okay.
Talking about being into things, the next story is even more absurd. This one is the licking fine.
Excuse me? The licking thigh?
Fine. There's an attorney. His name is Lawrence McCurdy. He's 64 years old, and he was found guilty of licking his client. He told his 21-year-old client that, you look so good today. Too bad you're married. And then he grabbed the woman and was holding her tight and was squeezing her and hugging her, and then he just proceeded to lick her ear.
Okay.
He was only fined $250, though, and the judge for being a dirty old man. But
what's the fine if she doesn't raise her leg? I'm curious.
I mean, come on. It's $250 for licking your client. I mean, to me, that sounds a little like, you know, I don't know, sexual abuse. I mean, I think it should be more than that, but
I'd really love to read the transcript from that day's trial. That would be entertaining.
I bet you that was a very interesting day. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This one's for the ladies, okay? And this story kind of upset me just a little bit. TSA airport. Ladies, he's been found. There is a God. The man with the largest penis. Oh, my goodness. Ladies, you guys have got to go and Google Mr. Jonah Falcon, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Wow. I guess I need a new alias now. Thanks.
Well, reportedly, Mr. Falcon, he was stopped because there was they thought he had a bulging package hidden in his pants.
Well, there's some truth to that. All right.
But it wasn't a dirty bomb or drugs or, you know what I'm saying, nothing like that. It was actually his penis. He said, I had my stuff strapped to the left and he wasn't erect at that time. Reportedly, now this is what he's saying. He's 9 inches flaccid and 13 and a half inches erect. one of the guards asked him to empty his pocket, and he said, okay. And then they sent him through the x-ray body scanner, passed him through a metal detector. Another guard stopped him and asked him if he had a growth of some sort, and he just laughed. He said, indeed, I do have a growth.
Well, that depends on your perfume, but okay, wow.
Also put powder on him to see if he, like, had a bomb on him. And just going through all of this, they could not believe that this was the man's penis. They put this man through all of this, but he was a good sport about it. I mean, I guess if I was a guy, you know, and I had, you know, a package like that, I'd be smiling too, like, yeah, you think this is a dirty bomb. You know, I got a dirty bomb for you, you know. But he was a good sport about it, but I'm kind of upset because I wasn't there, you know, to help him with the
conduct the search. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah, because that search would have went on for a very, very long time.
Okay, well, provided it wasn't a pack of female security, I would have, at a certain point, if it was me flying, I would have said, hey, one of you guys, let's go in the bathroom, and I'll verify myself in there, and we can put away all the radiology, and we'd have, you know, I'd have flight to get.
Exactly.
I don't know. Wow.
And which leads us to our next story, which
I'm going to have to vote. Okay.
Really grossed me out. This is the one about the hot and bothered squid. Oh, my goodness. So there was a woman in Seoul, Korea. She was eating semi-boiled squid when the squid injected its sperm bag into her tongue. The woman reportedly experienced a pricking and foreign body sensation while she chewed. And she said when she was in the hospital, she said she felt severe pain and she felt like small, creepy crawlies were in her mouth.
Ugh. Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
Oh.
Wow.
And the doctors actually found that the squid had left 12 small bug-like organisms in the mucous membranes of her tongue and cheek. The woman's mouth had been inseminated by the squid.
How quaint.
Ugh.
This is why my squid unloaded, by the way.
Well, apparently they boiled the squid, but they didn't kill it. It wasn't dead. And so she was eating a live squid, and when she bit into it, I guess it got the squid all hot and bothered, and he ejaculated.
What a way to go.
And it's
not,
which is crazy, this is not the first time that this has happened, but they're saying usually it happens because people in Japan like to eat raw squid. But this is the first time that it's happened when a squid was boiled and actually didn't die. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break so that we can
eat. Okay, an experiment. Go on.
And this song is...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This song is dedicated to my host, Mr. F the N Word. And y'all know he's not here because he's getting his nuptial on. So this is dedicated to him and his wifey. This is Eric Benet and Tamia, Spend My Life.
I never knew such a thing. I never knew such love to be without. I never knew such a together you got to smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with Miss 100% and Mr. Rod Zarius. That was Tamia and Eric Benet, Be In My Life. That was a special dedication to Mr. Esther N-Word and his new wifey. So now, I didn't want to go into this in the first segment because I think this next topic is just a little bit more serious. I would just like to get my co-host's opinion and, you know, see what he thinks about this. Are you there, Mr. Zarius?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so now I know everybody has been following the Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin case and the trial and the arrest and the hideout and all of this different stuff. Well, recently new information has come out that Zimmerman is not only a racist, but he's a proud racist, and his family is a proud racist. And not only are they proud racists, but Zimmerman is a racist or a molester as well. I don't know what you would call him, but reportedly a very close
alleged molester at this stage.
At this stage it's alleged. But this is a witness statement that was withheld from the rest of, it was withheld. This wasn't used. This witness statement hasn't been used yet.
Sure.
They're still trying to decide whether or not they want to use it. But a very close family member reported that from the age of 9, Zimmerman would molest her on different occasions. And also, when they moved in together, at the family moved in together at some point in time, he would fondle her. And then at some point, he actually started digitally penetrating her, or what people call fingering.
Sure.
So what I wanted to know was, does the molestation part, or should the molestation part have anything to do with whether or not, you know, he should be convicted of murdering Trayvon Martin? So you can just take a few minutes and give me your, you know.
From a sociologist or a criminal psychologist standpoint, I can see where perhaps if you were trying to establish some form of state of mind, establish a sociopathic undercurrent where the abject disregard for the other is a common, manifestation, that and that outcropping can manifest itself in that you don't regard women properly, in that you don't regard other races properly. The entire xenophobic, you perceive the world in an entire xenophobic kind of way, where everything different than you is bad and or subservient to you. And that's where the danger comes in, when people literally minding their own business, within that mindset, can be perceived as a threat and apparently are dealt with as such. And that's obviously where that becomes troubling. But sadly, now that with her having come forward, this isn't clearly the first time that he's had, you know, these kinds of outcroppings or these kinds of, episodes, you know, due to a sociopathic shortcoming. So it's, frequently when a guy climbs in a clock tower, that's not the first person he's shot at or going to gone postal with. Usually he's been blowing up, you know, cats and frogs and all sorts of stuff way before then.
Right.
And he just recently publicly went off the rails, and now everybody notices.
Right.
But he's been, you know, he's had a wheel loose, you know, for a screw loose for quite some time. So, but that's the view from the cheap seats.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's my thing. I don't think that I wish he could, because I know too personally too many stories of rape and within the family setting.
Mm-hmm.
Rape and molestation, and I know that story all too well. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's a separate crime which should carry a separate sentence, and it shouldn't be included. However, the key part of the witness statement was the fact that she is a very, very close. She's so close to the family that they're afraid to tell who she is.
Okay.
And she knows firsthand that the family is a very racist family, and that they boast about being racist, and they boast about their hate for black people, and they're very in your face about if you're black. And her statement was, if you're black and you don't act white, we don't mm-hmm. like you. But if mm-hmm. you can conduct yourself like a white person, we will. And that was the disturbing part of, you know, the whole thing for me. And it's
eurocentric,
like,
of them. Yeah.
What is acting white? What is acting black? I don't understand.
Well, that's the Eurocentricity and the subtext of the hidden superiority complex. That's one of the large problems with that. I would some context to my comment earlier. I strove merely to tie a balloon to the why her testimony might be relevant and to whom it might be relevant to, and that would be, you know, in some sort of criminal proceeding as a sociologist. In a criminal proceeding, just as a, you know, prosecutor or whatever, I don't know if that would color the water any more than, I mean, if he's already not guilty enough for the thinking masses, then I don't know if this would really help them. But this might, you know, the sexual deviance might penetrate some sort of racial bubble. So for people who have that schism and can't see guilt beyond race, maybe this will prick that bubble when the perversion, you know, kicks in and they go, oh my gosh, maybe we should just write him off altogether and not stick up for him solely based on race. So hopefully, you know, but I would like to see him tried separate and apart from that, because, you know, being a racist does not equate you being a murderer. That's not, you know, so I engage in to a slippery slope.
There's so much going on, because
mm-hmm.
you can have a dislike for a race, or you can be disgusted by the way a certain person of a certain race behaves, or you
okay.
can be a rapist or a molester, because a person that fondles somebody is not necessarily a rapist. A rapist is someone who forces himself, you know, and has intercourse with somebody unwilling. Mm-hmm. So it's so many different things that's going on. I just wanted to bring this in and get some feedback from the audience and from you, you know, different
mm-hmm.
people. So this is something that we can watch. And then in a story that kind of, you know, dovetails off of this, everybody knows who Jerry Sandusky is, what he's done, and you know, that he was convicted, but there's more trouble for him. Now it's being said that there are more victims coming forward, and these victims are actually coming from the 70s, dating back to the early 70s. He started his career at Penn State in 1969, and they're saying in the very early stages of his career, it's victims coming, and this is really crazy, because there's been 430 interviews conducted by the investigators, and these people were not even part of the 430 interviews that was done. So when he was convicted, he was, what, convicted of, I forget how many it was, maybe, was it 20 or something like that?
Well, I'm looking at 45 charges currently.
45
so I don't know which.
45 convictions. From 1994 to 2009. So these new charges are something that we've never heard about before. And then I brought this story up because I'm saying to myself, is this just open season on Jerry Sandusky, or is this real? You know what I mean? Because you notice how some people are opportunists and they see, you know, so many different things going on, and then they'll jump on a bandwagon and say, hey, he did it to me too. Give me some money, you know, or sometimes it's not even to get money. Sometimes it's just because people are crazy and they want to be in the news.
Yeah.
Some type of, you know, 15 minutes of fame or some type of attention or something. And I'm just wondering, what is your, you know, perspective on this matter?
Testimony-wise, I'm of the mindset that the victimization is such that, you know, I mean, it's a rare amount of remuneration you would get for me to be okay with the fact that, hey, I'm part of the Jerry Sandusky 45. You know, I don't know if I'd want that level of notoriety, regardless of how many zeros you'd like to, you know, add on. Having said that, having already gone through the horror, perhaps the money to pay for some therapy might not be the worst thing. My problem here, though, isn't necessarily with okay, clearly his actions were egregious and repulsive, but it's not a bulletin that there are child molesters. It's not a bulletin that children get molested. What's troubling here, though, is, and you know, and people don't expect to live in a bubble where nothing ever happens. The problem I'm having here, though, is that, you know, institutions and situations and officers and, you know, people who were charged with the wherewithal, you know, with the welfare of children and students and, you know, people on campus, those people chose to cover their own end rather than, you know, intercede on the behalf of, you know, what apparently seemed to be scores of victims. That's the more troubling trend. And his earlier cases coming to light lines up almost directly with the, you know, when the serial killer goes off the rails, that's usually not his first crack at it, you know. So there's usually a trail that they leave behind. So and that's all, you know. And now the bodies are popping up in the cemetery, you know, coin an ugly phrase, but it's that part is, you know, exceedingly tragic. But to see the chance that some people had to be saved and to have his conduct, have an opportunity to be abrupted at a much earlier stage, mm-hmm. you know, that's the part that I find the most offensive, you know. And speaking as a person who had my wedding canceled or waylaid because my Catholic bishop was relocated to Belgium for having engaged in some sort of untoward, you know, conduct, you know, it's amazing how far and wide this, you know, this spreads and touches people.
Right. Okay. And in saying how far and wide this type of offense, I want to call it, because it's not just people say the word rape or molestation or something, and they just throw it around as if, and they throw it around so much that it doesn't even have the effect that it used to have, you know.
No, it's neutered as a word, yes.
Right. When we first started hearing, you know, of a child being molested or raped, it was so heartbreaking and shocking to everybody. But now the word is just being thrown around, and such as the story with Daniel Tosh, and if nobody knows who he is, I know you do, but Tosh .0, he's a comedian that has a comedy show on Comedy Central, and he was at a venue, I believe it was early last week, at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles, and a woman was heckling him, and he decided that, you know, he was angry because she was heckling him. So he said to her, you know, I hope when you leave here, you get raped by 5 men. And everybody laughed as if that was the funniest joke that they had ever heard in their lives. And on one hand, I think that it's sort of hypocritical for, you know, people to laugh at dirty jokes and to laugh at a joke that hinges on talking about rape or something like that, but then to say, oh, no, what he said was totally out of line. What I feel, any joke about rape, period and point blank, is unnecessary, uncalled for, is disgusting, and is not something that, you know, it is actually funny. Like, I heard people say, well, he's going to get raped, like Jerry Sandusky, he's going to get raped in jail. I wish he would get raped. You only say something like that if you really mean it, because to say somebody should get raped, is that really wishing, like, death on them? It's just a horrible thing. And I'm just trying to figure out why people are not more careful with the things that they say to one another anymore. And it's so bad that now rape is considered to be funny. So.
Yeah. Well, as fractured as our society has become in terms of, you know, media consumption and you know, political constabularies that we belong to or don't, you know, and don't agree with any other, it's not surprising that we, you know, the common bonds between us are, you know, are liable to fray. And that...
You mean... Hush.
Excuse me. The prohibition on jokes about rape, I can understand that, it's the robbery of a soul. And I don't know how you can... as another human being, advocate under any circumstance that another human has their soul looted. I don't know how, you know, I shudder at what would make me that angry to wish that upon another human being. I hope I'm not capable of it.
You know what? I thought that was just very interesting that you said it's the robbery of a soul, in which it's really ironic, or it's, I don't know, maybe just a really weird coincidence. I wrote a report in school about teen adolescents in rape and how frequent it happens, and we don't pay attention to it. And I said those very words, that rape is robbing a person of their soul. And to me, it's just, this is another thing that, you know, we're leading up to. Now we're airing our dirty laundry. We're using anything that we can possibly use to get our name out there, to get people to notice us. And I'm trying to figure out, what is it all for? You know, what is the point of getting all of this negative attention? And what makes it so bad is that it's lucrative.
Well, see, that's the problem. If it's fiscally rewarded, then, you know, every seventh grader now wants to be the class clown because it pays, you know, so
right.
You can't really blame them. So.
And so, like, the story, a house for sale, this a woman, I'm just going to go through it rather quickly. She was jilted by her husband, cheated on, and he left her and her daughter, her small child, for a 22-year-old, and she put her house up for sale. And in the advertisement, she's selling the house because daddy cheated on mommy and left mommy for a 22-year-old. And then you have Billy Ray Cyrus, whose son went into surgery for his tonsils, and something went horribly wrong. And he tweeted an actual picture of his son withholding a bucket of blood that he had vomited from his surgery. And, oh, but everything is okay. Then we had another athlete whose wife had come in with Deion Sanders, tweeted a picture of his son filling out police reports. And it was, this is, to me, it's just gotten so out of hand that it's utterly ridiculous. It's just sad. It's like, okay, I want good attention.
Okay.
Y'all can have all the bad stuff, but it seems as if, again, we're in the 5 months until, you know, the Mayan prediction that the world is going to end. So I'm thinking, yeah, this maybe that is the reason that we're living in bizarre world now.
Maybe it is time to ring down the curtain.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Everything is just chaotic.
I think it has a way to bring us back together a little bit, in that some of the odd weirdness that happens to people doesn't, you don't feel all as, you know, quite out as on your own as much, you know, anymore. And there was a case recently where there was a star who had the wrong dosage of, I'm not sure if it was insulin or whatnot, administered to his child. And he's, you know, he had to litigate for quite some time while the hospital said, well, we, you know, we really had no problem with it. We don't know what seems to be the problem. So, you know, maybe somehow, apparently Twitter maybe, you know, I don't know if he's trying to build a case here, but he certainly notated what happened, you know, rather effectively. So, but it is sad that notoriety is the order of the day.
Right. Well, here is something that's not sad, and hopefully it'll lift your spirits. An oldie but goodie. Here is Zach featuring Roger Troutman, May He and his brother, rest in peace. This is so rough, so tough.
It's cool.
Together you got to be smooth, smooth.
people, welcome back to Smooth Drama with Miss 100% and Mr. Rod Sirius, my special co-host for this evening. That was Zach featuring Roger Trotman. Again, I miss the fella. I had the pleasure that the song was so rough, so tough. Had the pleasure of seeing him in concert. He's from Dayton, Ohio, just like me. You know, a very giving, loving, talented man, a talented group of people, no matter what you heard about him. He put a lot of people in jobs. He put a lot of people in new homes. He was a good man, a man's life that was ended all too soon. So may he rest in peace. So now, and I was going to say that, you know, it's kind of eerie to say, speaking of rest in peace, so I won't say that. But this next story, I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about it. Reportedly, there is 8,000 cases of HIV or at-risk HIV patients. Well, HIV and hepatitis.
Okay.
An oral surgeon in Colorado was accused of reusing needles on his patients over the last decade.
Wow.
One of the reports was saying that he was using the needles because he couldn't afford new syringes or new needles, and this is just crazy to me. It's heartbreaking. It's sad because these are needles that was used for surgical procedures, IV, and he was using them on multiple patients. It wasn't as if, okay, he used this for one person, then that person, then threw it away. It was, he used them again and again and again and again over a 10-year period.
Ooh, 10-year, really?
Over a 10-year period. The same.
Wow, I was going to say, if you're going to use them over and over again, you might as well, you know, if you're going to use them once, you might as well use them again and again. But 10 years, wow, that's
over a 10-year period. From 1999, from September of 99 to June of 2011. And he's not even practicing anymore. And it was crazy. He stopped practicing when he stopped using the needle.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no money in it now. So,
right.
Sorry.
They're saying that there hasn't been any incidents that have been linked to him so far. Now, that can mean several things. And I hate the way that the media tries to spin shit. It pisses me off because it's like, okay, this person went to this doctor's office and this person has HIV or hepatitis. But it might not be linked to him because this person could have had unprotected sex with a person who could have infected them. But you see what I'm saying? There's the semantics of the whole thing. And
sure.
To me, it's sickening.
Yes.
So
it's an outcropping of profit healthcare or for-profit healthcare. And from a couple of different perspectives, it's an indictment of his own personal, you know, character and oath and, you know, greed. But from having been a billing manager at a pharmacy, you see what things cost, and then you see what insurance companies actually pay. So there could be some truth that, I mean, and, okay, my main problem is, and this is where if we brace ourselves, socialize medicine, the magnet for sociopaths, for people who are in things just to make money, that gets removed from medicine. See, okay, we've seen what those class of people are willing to do when they get a hold of a bank or some real estate. So it's those, that is the danger in people, and those are people who got into things just to make money.
that that if that's the sole ethic, that everything else is, you know, is pretty much secondary. And
exactly.
This is of that same root, unfortunately. So, wow.
Well,
but there really is no way to tell, you know, definitively,
right,
as long
right.
As long as a disease like these can harbor and be triggered, and you know, from some other things, it's just but it is really, really sad.
Yeah.
Really
now,
sad.
Now, the thing is, I don't feel that it was done for the sole purpose of money. I just feel that, you know, and you've probably heard me say this before, I truly believe in my soul, in my heart, in my spirit, and with all that is within me, that there are just some people on this earth that are just plain outright evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just how they are. Just like
mm-hmm.
people are just, you know, you've met a person and you're like, that is the sweetest person, just genuinely sweet. I believe
okay.
that there are people that are just damn genuinely mean and nasty, hateful, and trifling. And that's what I think.
Yeah. If there's a bell curve, there are two ends. So,
so
happy to the crazy end.
Yes. And then, now, this is not the only case of this, though. In Dayton, Ohio, my hometown, there is a hospital, a veterans hospital,
okay.
where the staff was found guilty of doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And
oh, with syringes or medication?
They were reusing needles. And not just needles. They
mm-hmm.
were reusing all of the surgical instruments.
Oh, wow.
Now, and this is why I say that it can't be for the sole purpose of money. For the simple fact that this is government. And government pays for the instruments and everything at the Veterans Hospital. So they
okay.
don't have to worry about whether or not they can afford new instruments or they can afford needles and things like that because it's under government contract.
Sweetie, though, on the contrary, I hate to pull your coat on that one, but that was a huge problem with the VA to begin with, is that it's underfunded. Theoretically, since it's health care, you would think, hey, boys, we're sending you to war, and if you get dinged up, we'll write the check and, you know, get you patched back up. What we do is apportion a cap amount and say, hey, which is like we were $2 billion underfunded, which is the VA required that much money, and they didn't receive that much money, and that's care they had to deliver over and above what they were budgeted for. But that's the problem with the whole mindset is, like the CIA, we don't even know what they get. But the VA budget, somehow we throw a war and say, hey, well, we've only got 1 million Band-Aids, so do the best you can.
Okay.
There's
so you're saying because even though it's government funded,
mm-hmm.
they're still not getting the funds that they're supposed to, and because of that, they have to do like a contractor does. When they start to run out of money, they start to skimp on materials, basically.
You thin the concrete, you drop down a gauge on the wire, you space the risers out 14 inches instead of 12, you know, you start shaving, and there's administrators who are under the gun right now, just like the mayors in towns right now are under budgeted and having to decide which city streetlights to turn off and which blocks. Administrators are under that very same, you know, bunch, and because they get more directly funded from government blocks than even, you know, than even cities do. If you could imagine, which is scary, but true.
So that poses an even bigger question, and that we can, I guess, investigate or research, talk about at a later time.
Okay.
They're saying we're in a deficit of what, $300 trillion now, something like that. So,
right.
Where the hell
okay.
is all the money going to that we are missing? Why is there such a huge deficit if nothing is getting paid, if people aren't even, minimum wage is what, $7.35 an hour, there's
mm-hmm.
no job, you know, where the hell is the money going to?
It's so it's not a mystery. Ed Schultz publicizes charts and graphs showing where the money goes just about every night. So
the problem is
where the money winds up is the same people who fund the networks, which would tell you where the money went. And so unless they're going to pave the road to their own door for their own pitchforks and torches, you know, we may need to, you know, we may not expect that much, you know, largesse from the wealthy for, you know, as that. So, but it isn't a mystery. The subcontracting alone in the war literally bankrupt. At a time when they raised the troops' fees for their insurance benefits, at a time when they weren't armored, at a time when they didn't get weapons or troops or whatever, and at a time when subcontractors are getting paid triple what enlisted men were, that's the kind of place where the money goes. And when it turns out the whole purpose for that war was fiction in general, and when you go back and look at ladies like Bunnatine Greenhouse, the lady who sits at the switch and goes, yes, you should pay for this, no, we shouldn't pay for that, and who administered the last four wars we've been in, and they let her go because she's like, oh, no, I don't know if we really should be doing these things, you know, whatnot. And so she put under too much scrutiny, and so they let her go. And I watched her testify for 3 days straight on C-SPAN 2 before they removed that as a channel. So,
that's
the place the money went. And now all the cities, all the bankruptcies you hear on every level are from the very same cause.
Right. So anything that reveals their misdealing or misappropriations, they do away with it. They get rid of it. They erase all of the footprints that lead to their door, as you said. They're not going to, you know, give themselves away. They're not.
And you notice whistleblowers last about a minute and a half before they're deemed some sort of social misfit, you know, and rape 12 children, so we can't believe what they have to say about finance somehow.
Right, exactly. And so, which leads us to the next story. Now, this one, I'm kind of on the fence about this story because I can see it going several different ways. There's a new pill called Truvada, and it's actually a pill to prevent HIV. And it's saying that the Food and Drug Administration approved the drug last Monday because the drug was shown to reduce the risk of HIV infection. It's coming from the same company that actually made the OraQuick test, and it detects the presence of HIV in saliva, and it's a 40-minute test. It only takes 40 minutes for you to get the results. But the thing that I'm really confused about is how can FDA approve a drug by a company that has produced a test that doesn't work? The OraQuick test, the results are inaccurate. You can take the OraQuick test, and it can tell you that you don't have AIDS or HIV, but then you go to the doctor and surprise, you have your HIV positive. So it is really crazy that the FDA approved a test from the appeal from the same company that is producing inaccurate results. And to me, it's just, you know, putting people's lives in danger because, you know what, here it is again, just like when everybody started getting into condoms. Okay, condoms mean I'll just lay down with whoever I want to because I'm using a condom, and the misconception is that if I have oral sex, I can't get, you know, HIV because, you know, if I'm only down here a minute, you know, I'm good.
And now we have a wave of throat cancers and every other disease. Yeah, so I understand.
Right. So and then now it's like, okay, well, I'll just take this pill and I'll put myself, you know, on a regimen of Truvada, and I can just go do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a beautiful rollover topic because I don't think this drug is going to go anywhere. HIV, sadly, may not be going anywhere soon, and sex clearly isn't going anywhere. So I'd love to talk about this some more. I think that
Yeah, actually, I think we may need, because we're running a little short on time. But I think I don't know if it's a license per se, but I think you get the consequences you're in for. And people, what I do know is that in all social advances, there's an inventive advance, and then there are the ethics and social mores that go around governing that advance. First, somebody invents the gun, then gun laws come along because they're needed because of adventures like this. So this may be one of those advances we need that, you know, there's a couple misfires are going to be kind of costly, but in the end we may have a device that may serve, a greater good.
Right.
So need to hang on
that note, I would like to thank Mr. Rise Arias for joining us. I would like to thank the people in the chat room. Please don't forget to continue to social network with us, Yahoo, Twitter, Facebook. And for Mr. Rise Arias, I'm Miss 100%, and you've been listening to Smooth Drama.
Take care.
Together you got to move.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth.